following audio is from Southside Community Church in Corvallis, Oregon. More information is available at southsidecorvallis.org.
Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. All right, let's stand together as we read God's Word. I'm going to read from the NLT, and you're probably using the ESV, but here we go. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father, we are grateful. These words are so chock full of transformative wisdom and truth. God, we could sit here for a year in this passage. And so, God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the power that is in it. And we just ask, Lord, we know that there's a way we can still remain self-reliant while reading your words and doing these things, and we feel like things don't really break through to change us. So we want to open ourselves here and say, God, we're ready for something new. We're ready for something different. For those of us who have not felt your power and your gifts and your work really drop, like the coins haven't dropped and the vending machine's not putting the stuff out, God, we ask for that to happen here in this place. And as we go from here, Lord, this week about Thanksgiving, may we truly grow in this attitude of faith and humility that is Thanksgiving. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You guys can be seated. So I just preached the sermon to you through the prayer, so we can pretty much move on. So everybody's like, what are you really getting at, Joe? I just said it. So it's so good to see all of you here. This is just great. You guys know I've been gone for a bit, and last week I was back and doing music, but just good to be back here with you guys and getting to share the word with you. I guess just a couple words on my sabbatical. It was awesome. It turns out I was still a sinner and have, you know, sinful patterns that I easily fall into. I did follow a couple of the elders. Matt advised me to please take one of the first few days and spend a few hours doing video games. And so Caleb had surgery at the start of our of the sabbatical. And so and then the boys were off school for like a couple of days at the end of the week. So we played a fairly large amount of Minecraft. Don't you think? It wasn't quite a lot, wasn't it? So I just want you to know, I now know how to make an anvil. And so for those of you who have done that in Minecraft and a cartographer's table and a number of other things. So the sabbatical was useful for me becoming more proficient in Minecraft. There's more to it than that. This time I just really got to take time and just stop a lot of things I had been doing. It's amazing how when you stop a huge amount of what you're doing and realize how much is still happening, it's like, whoa, you know, you're just like, this is how the brain and the body get wound up and into this place of unhealth. But, it was really, really good. And, did a lot of soul work while I was there. Did some rest. I'm not great at resting, but I did some. I'm better at obsessively wasting time than resting. Is there anybody else who can relate to that? Like, I rest. No, maybe you obsessively waste time. Like, There's a difference between like, I just binged six episodes in a row on a season in Netflix and like feeling like peace and rest. Like it's a little different. You know what I mean? And so anyway, so I'm like, but it was really, really good. And I did have some really great breakthroughs and some good breakthroughs spiritually since then. And this week, just really, really good timing here. If you can't be thankful on a week that you have time off work and are supposed to eat this much turkey and mashed potatoes, you need help with Thanksgiving, don't you? You know, this is a great week. So today we're talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about the power of a thankful heart. And you guys may have noticed that we used a passage to open with that we have actually preached and taught through recently. You guys remember? It was not that long ago. I think it was like 3 months ago or 2 months. Anyway, it was not that long ago. And I couldn't help myself. It's like, there it is again. I was right back between Psalm 103 and Philippians 4. But it was like, okay, Philippians 4 is shorter. And it just says so many things in so little space. So we have... We have three main points today. Well, okay, no, excuse me. We have four. I had to add a fourth. Four main points. Three would have been so much better. But anyway, four. Thankfulness, number one, thankfulness is a direction, not a circumstance. Thankfulness is a direction, not a circumstance. Number two, thankfulness is necessary to deeply receive God's most important gifts. Thankfulness is necessary to deeply receive God's most important gifts. Number three, thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. Thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. And number four, thankfulness reframes our perspective, empowering transformed living. Thankfulness reframes our perspective, empowering transformed living. Okay? If we put these things, these principles into our minds, into our practice, I'm telling you, it's going to be powerful. Okay. So, and then we have a series of questions and a series of what do we do with this? Okay. So, I started somewhere around 10:30. Let's see if we can be done in a fairly concise amount of time. Thankfulness is a direction, not a circumstance. There are so many of you in this room that I know would just take that and be like, let me explain that to you. I can tell you what that's about. We so easily tend to think we will be thankful if, and fill the blank, if whatever happens, right? I will be grateful if this happens. And this in no way takes away from the fact that there are painful, horrible trials that happen in our lives. This does not mean we don't grieve those things. It doesn't mean that we don't cry out to God in them. It doesn't mean that we don't scream about them. You know, I recently had a friend who was talking about songwriting. They were songwriting for a really successful, just excellent church community, and they have a thriving worship community. And so there's this woman and her husband that I know and do some things with. And anyway, so she was coming to me and asking me, she was saying, we're writing this song and we're writing more original music to just worship God with authentically. And I thought, this is so cool. And she told me, she says, I'm not sure what to do. She says, her husband has this chronic pain, like some kind of form. It's related to arthritis and feels it in his back especially. And he's a young guy. I mean, we're talking like he's like 30 or something. So a lot of pain. He wakes up in the middle of the night, has to change direction, and usually does his like quiet time, devotional time in the middle of the night because he has to be up for an hour or so every night generally. Okay. So this guy is in just chronic pain. And so she said he had this idea for this song, and he wrote, Lord, remove this thorn from my side. And there's just some visceral words. And she said, you can't sing that corporately. Like that's not like a corporate worship song. There's some people smiling here, and I'm going, and she's just like, you know, and how would you reframe that and this and that? And I'm like, have you read the Psalms? Like recently? I challenged her. I said, I would just encourage you to go and just in the next few days, like read like 100 of them and just see what ties them together. And you guys could do this too, because it's crazy Like the Psalms are far more visceral than most of our worship music. They are far more honest. They are far less filtered. Okay? And praise God for that. And, you know, if Paul could cry out to God and ask for it, then we can. It doesn't mean we know what God's going to do with it. But it's essential that God's the one. I said, you know, the thing is, what ties all these Psalms together. Oh, look at this. There must have been a real moment of knowledge and understanding. It's like, I could just see the lights just went on in the room. As soon as I said that about thankfulness, it was like, everybody's like, bling, enlightenment. Yeah. It was like, just keep preaching. It might get brighter. No, I'm just kidding. There was a real revelation for somebody just now. They were blind, now they can see. Okay, how many puns can we pull out of this? Okay, so anyway, but it's like, I just, looking at this, like, we need to cry out to God with our pain. If we don't cry out to God with our pain, we very likely will go somewhere else with it. And a lot of us, myself included, have habits ingrained where we have consciously or unconsciously become accustomed to something else being the target and the refuge in our pain. And if there's one thing that I saw, I mean, there's a lot of things that tie the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms have, they have incredible words about the Torah and the law of God and the beauties of the law of God and the promises of God and the wisdom of God. All that's there. But there's also stuff like, you know, God, I'm so angry. Would you take these people's kids and bash them against rocks? Like, not kidding. Like, that's in the Psalms. Really. Did not make that up. It's one of those things where you're just like, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, like that just went really R-rated really fast, you know? And it's like, but let's face it. Our thoughts and our experiences become R-rated, you know? At times our emotions become that. If we don't have anywhere to go with that, what do we... Where else do we go than God in that? What I see when I tie the Psalms together, when you just read through those Psalms quickly and say, what ties it together? There's something I see, and that is God is the refuge in all of it. Always God is the audience, and it's messy, and it's crazy, and sometimes it's beautiful and sweet and full of insight, and sometimes it's just visceral. But God is the direction in all of it. He's the refuge in all of it. So thankfulness here, it's a direction, not a circumstance. And that does not mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean that we don't feel pain. Some of you guys heard a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, committed suicide a week ago Thursday. And she's been a lot of tears this week sorting through that. I hadn't talked to him for, you know, a few years, several years. And it had been a while. But it was a hard and deep and painful experience for me. And I just, you know, can't imagine what his family's going through. He's 39 and had four kids up in Tacoma, Washington area. So this sermon is being preached not in the middle of everything being right. And we need to be able to stop and consider this. The most powerful transformative aspects of these words are about being in the middle of pain and taking these things with faith and humility. Okay? So thankfulness is a direction, not a circumstance. You know, there was a sacrifice in the Old Testament that was considered a thank offering. It was a thanksgiving offering. And it was an offering of faith to say, I'm thankful to you, God, for something you've done, and in some cases, for something you will do. And it is sometimes a sacrifice for us to say thanks, isn't it? It feels like this is not what I totally feel like doing right now. Okay? And that's what we're going to get into. But that right there is often where the transformation happens. It's not about everything like saying this is great when everything feels great. It's about saying, what is it that I'm missing that's great right now? So thankfulness is a direction, not a circumstance. It is an attitude, right? It is an attitude. How many of you guys have known somebody who had so much, it appeared, so much, and yet felt like everything was the pits? And you're there being like, what? You're just, and you're literally just, sometimes you want to ask them, like, are you blind? to how much you have. You have so much, you know? You have so much. And truly, we, with all that we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be grateful for. Number two, thankfulness is necessary to deeply receive God's most important gifts. Okay, thankfulness is necessary to deeply receive God's most important gifts. It's amazing how as we, if we don't have the humility and faith, if we don't have a gratefulness, then oftentimes we don't actually fully, the coins don't fully drop in our lives. There's something about, it's interesting, you won't experience the power of forgiveness of your own soul unless you extend it to others. You won't keep experiencing financial blessing unless you learn to be financially trusting God and giving to others. It's just that these things, you won't like experience joyful service unless you serve. Like it's like this law of finishing the loop, you know, connecting the dots. It just doesn't happen. So thankfulness is necessary to deeply receive God's most important gift. It's amazing how a gift can be presented to you, but until you stop and like humble yourself and realize how much you needed it, and then look at the kindness and the generosity and the love of the person who gave it, and then speak to them what is true about that. By the way, there's a seat, one more seat up here, and a couple right up here, just so you know, and one off by Jonathan. He's a really nice guy. Jonathan, you like Jonathan? Yeah. So, and there's maybe one right here too, if you guys want. Okay. It's amazing how until you notice those things, reorient your perspective to them, and then speak what is true about what that person has done for you, that's when the law, the spiritual law, kicks in. And you actually, it really drops, like it clicks. Have you ever experienced that before? There's something about that. And it's amazing how once you start doing that and start dwelling on that, it's amazing how it grows, right? It grows. It's just like all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, this is really great. Look at this. This is amazing. You know, and stuff. And you start to be like, and it was amazing how like the gift never changed, but somehow by your perspective, something is growing in you. It's incredible the transformation of what happens there. It's like opening, it's almost like drinking from the rainfall or the waterfall of God's grace. You can't do it unless you look up, right? And open your mouth. It's kind of the opening process, you know? And so, yeah, it feels good that it's like being poured on my head, but it doesn't go inside of me until I open up to it. Third point, thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. Thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. This is Sarah Young. You guys ever read Jesus Calling devotional? She writes it from the perspective of God speaking to her, Jesus speaking to her. And so I'm just going to read this, okay? Today is what? November 24th? Is anybody using that devotional? This is today's devotional I'm reading, okay? Thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. Oh, she said it. That is why I have instructed you to give thanks for everything. There's an element of mystery in this transaction. You give me thanks, regardless of your feelings, and I give you joy, regardless of your circumstances. This is a spiritual act of obedience, at times blind obedience. To people who don't know me intimately, I can seem irrational and even impossible. To people who don't know me intimately, it can seem irrational or even impossible to thank me for heart-rending hardships. Nonetheless, those who obey me in this way are invariably blessed, even though difficulties may remain. Thankfulness opens your heart to my presence and your mind to my thoughts. You may still be in the same place with the same set of circumstances, but it is as if a light has been switched on, enabling you to see from my perspective. It is this light of my presence that removes the sting from adversity. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Psalm 118:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. Psalm 89:15. There's something so huge that is happening in that exchange, in that process. Okay? The fourth point is thankfulness reframes our perspective, empowering transformed living. Thankfulness reframes our perspective, empowering transformed living. Okay? I'm going to quote a brilliant, brilliant guy here. Oh, Sandy, there's a seat right next to Tara up here if you want it. I know. I'm terrible. I probably embarrass people by doing this. I'm sorry. Small church habits. Okay. Hashtag things small church pastors do that nobody else is allowed to. So thankfulness reframes our perspective, empowering transformed living. Okay. I'm going to quote somebody just brilliant. This is a brilliant dude who said this. Okay. Here we go. Reframe is not ignoring reality. Rather, it is a humble openness to a different take on reality. One that trades an assumption of the worst about life for a belief in the strength and goodness of God and what he is doing. This amazing guy said that, Matthew Isaac Kimmel. It is. I told you it's brilliant. I wasn't playing that up. It was. He told that to our leadership yesterday during a really important leadership meeting, and I was like, that's really fitting for today's message. That really is. Think about this. Think about the first, okay, United States Thanksgiving holiday. All right. Would you have been filled with gratitude in their situation? Think about what they're coming from, right? These people sail on this ship from England, and you look at the first seasons they were here and how many of them died in horrific ways, right? And they're just succumbed to these diseases, to, you know, cold, to, you know, they don't have the infrastructure they need. Tons and tons of them died. You were accustomed to burying your friends and loved ones that you had traveled on this journey with. And over time, you're blessed to have some help from some natives and some other things. And you actually like start to get some food and start to be able to live and not die. And it's like, and here you are grateful. Like, I think about the people and who I've lost and the pain of that. And frankly, it probably doesn't compare to what these people who celebrated the first Thanksgiving experienced. There's a reframe there, isn't there? Like for them, they had a different perspective than what I have. Maybe a different perspective than many of us even. Okay? Reframe is not ignoring reality. Rather, it is a humble openness to a different take on reality. A humble openness to a different take on reality. One of the greatest things that keeps me, and maybe some of you, from deep transformation is how deeply I hold to my own current perspective. How I am so not open to other perspectives. There's a form of subtle pride that is there with that shame in that. There's a subtle form of pride where it says that my perspective is the best perspective. And it's the only valid perspective in the situation, even though there's plenty of other people who are maybe even far healthier than I am right now. And I might look at them and be like, well, you all don't know Jack. Or I might say, you're just not accepting reality. This is the way I do it. Some of you have been with me in for years or heard me speak. And I'm one of these guys who hates things to be fluffed up. I hate it. I hate fluff. I hate it, okay? It's just one of those things where I'm going, I will listen to like health and wealth teachers or really positive thinking people, and I'll be like, you are so full of it. You are just fluffy cotton candy. I'm just like, why don't you just throw some Disney on there and let's all just... No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, okay? Everybody's like, everybody's hearing the kind of, I'm you know, devolving into the worst version of Joe here. But there's some truth in it. There is. But I've used that as a mask, or as basically this really unhealthy focus to justify cynicism. And cynicism is, it's a diseased attitude. Cynicism is not accepting reality. It's focusing on negative. Okay? So it's like what I was saying as I just say it the way it is. This is truth. It's like, no, you're just focusing on really negative things. Okay? So confessions, okay? Positive, encouraging K-love. How do you think that made me feel? Fluffity fluff, fluffers. Fluff. That's how I would think of it, right? I'm just kind of like, you know, and I couldn't help this. I'm like, let's just all only preach positive theology like some health and wealth preachers do and blah, 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 you know. Anyway, so this is like, okay. But here's the thing. Thankfulness is not ignoring reality. Thankfulness is a posture or an attitude that focuses on hope. And the fact of the matter is, if you are in the middle of a dark place filled with dangerous things and you cannot see your way out, it's very likely you are going to get hurt. You are going to bang your knee. You're going to get cut. You're going to fall. You don't know if you're going to fall into something hurt. If there is a little sliver of light somewhere that you can see, it is literally wisdom to focus entirely on the light, isn't it? And to move toward that light. That's not fluffing up life. That is an essential wisdom for survival. And the fact of the matter is, I came to realize that by focusing on the negative, I was actually lowering my ability to be resilient. And so for you, are you lowering your ability to be resilient in life because you are overly focused on the negative? Are you lowering your resiliency because you are focusing on the negative? I'm going to quote that Matthew guy again. Reframe is not ignoring reality. Rather, it is a humble openness to a different take on reality. One that trades an assumption of the worst about life for a belief in the strength and goodness of God and what He is doing. Okay, so this is our conclusion here, okay? What does this say about attitudes we need more of? I'd say number one, humility. Don't take your own perspective so seriously. Don't take your own perspective so silly, so seriously. Number two, so silly. Number two, faith. Faith. What does it say about our faith when everything is always focused on the negative? What does it say? Nothing good. We need faith. There's a grit that is developed by believing in faith in the goodness of God, in believing in His promises, in believing, like Hebrews says, anyone who comes to God must believe He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you diligently seek, reward. Okay? It's not a carrot on a stick that is always just two steps away. If you feel like, if you have been seeking God and being like, I'm doing the God thing, I'm trying, and God's not coming through. Like, the carrot on the stick is out there, and I keep trying to grab it, but it's always out of reach. What's wrong with God? I just want to encourage you. It's probably you. I'm just saying, and you know what? I'm telling you right now, that might not feel good for your ego, but dear goodness, it is the most hopeful realization. Because if it's God, you got no hope. If He's the one with all the charge and all the power and He's charged with everything, and it's always a carrot on a stick that's outside of your grasp, well, you're screwed. You know? I mean, you are. And it's like, but if it's you and something is a lie that you have believed a lie and a delusion, then that's actually very hopeful. Because that means if something in you changes, your experience of God will change. your experience of God will change. And that's tremendously hopeful. So I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head with that. I'm saying this is hopeful. It's like in the midst of coming to hope, the ego has to like die and take a lot of punches. And it's like, oh, you know, hope, humility, faith, hope. We need that hope. Faith and hope are inextricably connected. And the crazy thing is that I find that hope opens up often through humility. Hope opens up often through humility. Once we humble ourselves more and stop being so self-reliant, we realize how needy we are. We realize our perspective may be flawed, and yet we hold to it as if it is the truth of the universe. Once we are willing to admit some of those things, the hope starts to come in. Things can be different. There's different perspectives. Those perspectives may be just as valid as mine. In fact, those perspectives might be more valid than my perspective. How could that possibly be? Because that person has more spiritual life than you do, which means just by the law of practical proving through life what's happening, they have more spiritual life than you. If their perspective is different than yours, maybe you need more perspective like they have. I always say this. I always say, if somebody has something you want, go ask them how they got it. You know, it's amazing how cross like discipleship can happen between a community of people. If we're all just humble enough to look at each other and be like, that person's more like this than I am. Maybe I go ask them why. Discipleship. They start telling you what they do, what they had to do. And you start experiencing discipleship and God starts forming your soul more. You know? Okay. So reframe life and get a new direction. Reframe life and get a new direction. Three questions I have here, and then some stuff to try, okay? Three questions. What is the direction of your soul? What is the direction of the soul? These are three that are the same question. What is the direction of your soul? What is the reflection of your soul? What are the contents of your soul? Okay? So what is a reflection? Reflection is something you are facing towards like a mirror, and now you look like it, right? What are you oriented towards so that you are becoming the reflection of? What is the direction of your soul? Like, what are the attitudes of your soul so that you are moving and focusing on things? We all know, I think, like, what we focus on oftentimes has a way of now driving our direction, doesn't it? If we focus on it, it drives our direction. So what are you focusing on? Just take a simple inventory of the last week. What are the things that I focused on? It's going to tell you a lot, probably. Okay? What are the things over the last month that I focused on? Okay? And what are you filling yourself with? Okay, the second question then. Do you feel like God's good gifts are truly hitting? Like they're truly satisfying you? You're truly experiencing them. If you are not truly experiencing, like you're here and you're like, I'm going to church, I'm doing the religious thing, I'm doing discipleship, I'm whatever, whatever form of following God, you kind of, what words you put to that, but you're like, I'm not experiencing like joy and satisfaction, then maybe that means you need a change in attitude and perspective that incorporates thankfulness regularly. Okay? So if you don't feel God's gifts are hitting, maybe there's a change in attitude related to gratitude you need. Okay, number three, how are you weathering adversity? How are you weathering adversity? Is it kind of like if things are going well, you're doing pretty well, and once things start going bad, literally everything goes to crud. It's like, boom, you just eat pavement. If you eat pavement once adversity comes, there may be a spiritual law where God actually helps us to grow in adversity that is not happening in you. You know, I mean, it's like, what is Paul and Peter talking about when they say, count it all joy when you encounter trials of many kinds? And these kids are like, what? You know, like, are you smoking something? Like, if that's you and it's just like, there is no upside to trials, there's a piece here missing for you, okay? How are you weathering adversity? If adversity for you causes you to eat pavement, then there might be a change in attitude of humility and gratitude that would be very powerful for you. They would really change some things for you. Okay, so here's the try this ideas, okay? Here's some try this. This is prayer with action, prayer with action. Orient yourself to God in prayer and take these actions, okay? So here's what they are. Prayerfully take action. Number one, the next time you feel a lot of pain, and I'm, you know what, you guys, I'm probably going to go up after this, now that the lights are on, and go print this stuff out. I had no printer available when I had this stuff. So anyway, if you guys would like these, come and tell me and I'll get a printout or email it to you, okay, afterwards. So I know this is kind of a lot of stuff that's like, oh, let's try this, try this. You know, anyway, so pastor fail here. So number one, try this, okay? Prayerfully take this action. Number one, ask in the middle of pain, God, where are you in the middle of this? I mean, doesn't that sound almost stupid obvious? Doesn't it? But how many of us do it? How many of us, once the pain hits, we go, God, where are you in the midst of this? What are you doing in the midst of this? And if you feel alone, just say, God, I feel alone. Where are you? Why would that matter? Why would it help to do that? You're like, I'm just complaining. Are you? We're not supporting here everybody acting like nothing bad is really happening. You know, I see horrible things, act like it's not happening. It's like, no, that's not what God's asking us to do. Okay, why does that matter? It's because it immediately turns our attention to God. That's the first thing. It just turns our attention to God. It may be so simple, but you feel pain, you get, God, where are you in this? Turn your attention to God in it. Number two, stop. As soon as you get a chance, stop and think and write out a list of gratitudes. And meditate there and thank God as you go. Stop and write a list of gratitudes and soak in that. And then thank God. Okay? Another thing with that is just do that with your family or your friends or your community. You ever just sat and talked about that? Guess what? We're going to get to do that today. We're going to eat a Thanksgiving meal together, and we're just going to give some like open stage, open mic, whatever. We're going to give some opportunity for people to just share with each other. What are some things you are so grateful for? Number three, here's one that really is transformative also, and it takes some stick-to-itiveness, okay? But this is one that I'm curious if you've ever done. Ask a trusted spiritual friend how they would reframe your story. If you are struggling with cynicism, if you are struggling with negative thinking and always feeling like either a victim mentality or God hates me or God's not good or things always go this way with me or people always do these things to me, negative cognitions, negative thoughts that are always just there, you're stuck. Go to a trusted spiritual friend and ask them how they would reframe your story, your personality, your troubles, and those things that you may be cynical about, okay? What is their perspective? Now, is their perspective God's perspective? Maybe not. Maybe God will give them some wisdom and they're going to give you pieces of God's perspective, but the power of this is yes, that they might give you pieces of God's perspective. That's possible. The essential power of it is it's not your perspective. And that's why it's so powerful. Because they're not stuck inside you like you are. Other people are not stuck inside me like I am. So if I ask somebody else, it's helpful. It automatically has a powerful effect. Okay? What is their perspective? Don't correct them. Don't correct them. Okay? Not during the first time. Just listen and go away, journal, pray about it, sit in it for a week or two, and then meet back up and share what you're thinking as you sit in that, okay? Oftentimes, one of the problems we have with something that keeps us from spiritual transformation, from emotional transformation, from development, is that somebody will say something that could be very powerful to us, and we immediately deflect it. Oh, no. And we immediately argue, whatever it is, like, no, you don't understand, you know. And so it's like one of those things where if you've really shared your heart, give lots of time to share your heart, share your story, share your stuff. And then once you feel like you've really shared it, believe they heard you and just zip and just listen. Just see what they say. I've done this quite a bit recently myself. And it's humbling. It's also very hope-inspiring. And if we can think differently, we can act differently, can't we? We all know that's true. And the last thing I'm going to say is welcoming prayer. Welcoming prayer is just this. It's like centering prayer. Have you ever done centering prayer? Go take some time. Go sit with the Lord. Okay? Maybe you need to do this with somebody else because it's nervous for you to kind of sit and listen to God. But just alone or with somebody, just take, open your posture to God, whatever that means for you, your hands, whatever. Close your eyes and just speak to God. Here I am. And then just share whatever thing it is. Maybe your deep sense of like some of the big needs, like my compulsion to control. Like I need to control things I don't trust. Or security. I really need security and I'm just wanting to be secure. I don't feel like secure and it's killing you. Or I really need affirmation from people or whatever thing. Whatever pain you're experiencing, just take it and say, God, here's my pain. Would you come? I welcome you into it. What do you want to do in the midst of this? I mean, it's so simple. But it's just take whatever pain, whatever thing. There it is again, the fear, things, whatever thing it is. And then just say, God, here it is. I'm experiencing that fear. I'm experiencing that whatever. I'm welcoming you into it. What do you want to do here? And it's a humble opening to God and it's a cry for help, isn't it? So just that welcoming sort of prayer. I'm just going to end here with what we started with. Philippians 4:4-9. There is so much transformative stuff here if you will put this into practice. So I'm going to say it, and I'm probably going to stop and interrupt a little bit in it too. Here we go. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Now remember, he doesn't say always feel good and glad and happy about God. He says rejoice. That means you celebrate what God's done. And that doesn't change with the pain of what you've just lost. God has still done what he's done, and it's still good, and it was never taken away. Right? So it's the things you celebrate say a lot about where you find your hope. What it's saying is celebrate God, his promises, his person. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Think about others than just yourself. That's really helpful too with a cynical mindset, is getting outside your own head and thinking about others. Let everyone see you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Focus on the promise of God. He's coming again. We're about to do Advent, the coming. So we're going to remember his first coming and his second coming, right, of the Son of God. Remember, he's coming again. Live with that as the point at which you're moving in life, as which all of history is moving towards. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So as soon as you notice that pain coming, that worry happening, welcoming prayer, whatever prayer, just open to God. Here it is, God. I'm worrying again. Here it is. I'm afraid. Here's what I'm afraid of happening, God. What are you going to do about it? I need you. Don't just sit in that worry. Pray about it. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything instead. Tell God what you need. Number one, be honest. This is what I need, God. I mean it. And thank him for all he has done. So you tell him what you need, but you also don't forget how many things he's already done. So this is not about positive thinking, like making stuff up. It's about not forgetting the stuff that reality has already happened. Okay? And so then you will experience God's peace. Not before. But after you take that step of humility and faith and say, yep, I can't feel it right now, but I'm going to remember the things you've done. And so here's what I need, but also I'm going to remember what you've done. And God's peace, you open yourself to God's peace as you do that. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds all understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We have unguarded minds. We have unguarded minds. And the enemy attacks and the negative things in us consume us because we are unguarded by the peace of Christ. We need to take these actions. If anything you take from this teaching, just go back to Philippians 4:4-9 and every piece of it, do it. Every piece of it, do it. Practice it through the week. Every piece of that. Okay? Step after step. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That means attending to Jesus and praying and trusting and acting in love and trust in Jesus and his words. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. What Paul is saying here is he, as what we saw as the most prolific church planting apostle, apparently modeled a way of life that was always fixing his eyes on what is true and lovely and honorable. So if you're always a downer, if you're always like, you're just cynical and, well, I just say it the way it is. Actually, you're actually out of line with this, Joe. You're actually out of line with this. Okay. It's like, no, I'm just being true. This is not out of line with God's word. Well, it is. Well, right? It really is. And so it's like, okay. Yeah, no, I'm wrong here. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want you guys to be thinking about what has God been at work doing in your life? What can you stop and think about? Because we're going to share them during potluck time. I think we're going to have people share them in the groups you're sitting in. And yeah, we might get a couple few people on a mic. We'll see. But I think we're just going to share them mostly just in our groups and just share them between each other. Like it's normal. Like it's something you just do as a part of life. Like it's a rhythm. Like it's a discipleship practice. It's a discipline of the spiritual life. I mean, it is. It really is. Okay? I'll just end with this incredible thing. There's a link, and I might send it to the whole church. We'll see. It's a little tiny link. It was created by Duke University, okay? And has anybody in the leadership started doing the three things study? All right, one. All right, the rest of you, you're on probation. No, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. So one guy, how many days have you done it? And what did you experience when you were doing it?
Yep.
That's so instructive, okay? So this was created for people who do caring professions, okay? And so especially for like healthcare workers and stuff like that and counselors and anyway. So one of my mentors sent it to me, right? He knows I'm a pastor and he's like, you need to do this. It's created by Duke University. It was taught to him, okay, at the hospital that he works in. He works in a large hospital. And it was a part of a class on burnout in caring professions. Burnout and caring professions, okay? And it was talking about developing resiliency, okay? And so this is from a huge amount of research that Duke University did, and they created this simple process that's 15 days. It's just 15 days, okay? And you get a text, if you opt for the text, every day in the evening at like 7 p.m., okay? And you do that for 2 weeks, basically, all right? And it takes like 3 to 5 minutes, okay? It's not very long. And all they do in that is ask you, what is something today that basically went well? Focus on something that went well today. And something, it's like focusing on what you're grateful for, but it's focusing on something that you can celebrate that day. And the second thing is, what was your role in that? Okay? And then the third one was just, how does it make you feel? Like, what are you experiencing because of that? And the amazing thing is that they are finding in this study that overwhelmingly people experience a massive change in attitude through doing this daily. Very simple. They just do three times. It's just every day you just have three things. They ask you that set of questions for three different things. And I can tell you right now, at first I'm going, nothing went well today. This today was hard. It sucks. It was bad. These things, you know. Was it? Or am I just focused on the negative things? Psychology has shown us our brains actually naturally latch on to negative cognitions multiple times more than positive ones. So what this is doing, it's an act of humility and faith. You turn towards God, you turn towards what is good and what is hopeful in humility, and you say, what actually happened? And that change in direction has a massive difference in taking people and making them resilient in life. Isn't that amazing? So this is the thing. You and I, people, were designed for thankfulness. We were designed for it. We were designed for hope. Designed for hope. What if we started living in our design more? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful here. Lord, it can be so hard at first to find the positive things. But Lord, once we look for the hope, once we open ourselves to you, wow, like one thing after another can start coming and start coming and start coming until we realize how much there is that we neglect, how much there is we forget. And so, Lord, we remember the psalmist, Lord, and we just want to ask, help us not to forget. Help us this week to be in Philippians 4 and in Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all we are praise the Lord. Let all that we are praise the Lord. And may we never forget the good things He does for us. God, we do easily forget the good things. You forgive our sins. You heal our diseases. You redeem us from death. And you crown us with love and tender mercies. You fill our lives with good things. God, I pray we would remember regularly the good things you've given us, and that that hope would fill us with resiliency, with the strength to endure on. Lord, I pray, teach us to be resilient people, to grow strong in the midst of trials, not just in the midst of good circumstances. And we ask this for your glory and for our good and for the hope of others who need to see that hope in us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southside Community Church, located in Corvallis, Oregon. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please don't charge for them or alter them in any way without written permission. For more information about Southside Community Church, please visit southsidecorvallis.org.